The motorsports world is where legends are made, the unthinkable happens, and barriers are broken. One man harnesses the power of an industry every week. This is the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor, with Jim Beaver.
And here we are again with another edition of the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. And guess what? Yep, I'm your host right here, Jim Beaver, locked, loaded. We are ready for one of my favorite episodes of the year. We do every single year. The episode that is the lead up to the greatest spectacle in all of motorsports. Yes, the Indianapolis 500. The Indy 500 is upon us. It is this weekend. If you're tuning in, regardless of where you're tuning in, yes, it is going on, and I am really excited to have a triple header of guests from the IndyCar world. Last week, we had my good friend Ed Carpenter on the show. Don't want to discredit that one. This week, we have none other than Indy 500 winner, Mr. Alexander Rossi. We have an Indy 500 pole sitter and my good friend James Hinchcliffe, a.k.a. Hinchtown. And then we've got one of the young guns of the IndyCar series, Dalton Kellett, driving for A.J. Foyt. He is going to be on the show as well. Three guests, big-time IndyCar talk today. Yes, we're going to dive into a lot of Indy 500 talk. In addition, I've got my good friend Tiffany Stone. She's going to keep it locked and loaded with everything non-IndyCar. We're going to talk a little rally, a whole lot of off-road, and who knows where else the conversation will go anytime she is on the show. But yes, big show today. Do have a lot of segments for fan questions. You got any fan questions, hit me with them and hit me with them soon at JimBeaver15. We will get those answered in the show today. But really excited to bring this massive IndyCar show to you. And man, we got a whole lot of other stuff to talk about as well. Short Course is getting ready to get fired up. We've had Great American Off-Road Series gas. They've been going on the West Coast. Got a couple of rounds deep. We got the big series, Champ Off-Road. They're about ready to come out swinging. We just had Road Racing NASCAR at Circuit of the Americas. And man, Road Course, and it was interesting, let's say that. Racing in the rain, and we were probably dive into that because a lot of drivers had a lot to talk about there. Man, it's a good time to be talking motorsports. I know Toby Price, a good friend of the show, he just had some massive news as well. Pro Motocross getting ready to get fired up. Man, it is game on, gas on, right here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Hang tight. You don't want to go anywhere. We got 2 hours action-packed coming right at you.
Whether you're looking for a tire that balances high-performance responsiveness and traction in wet and light snow conditions, excellent handling and traction in wet and dry conditions, or a summer performance tire designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has you covered. From the all-new G-Max RS to the Grabber ATX, no matter what you drive, General Tire will get you where you're going. Learn more at GeneralTire.com. General Tire, cruising with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012.
You want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story.
Conditions off the pavement are always changing, so why settle for a light bar that just turns on and off? The Rigid Adapt is a revolutionary new light bar that will automatically select from 8 beam patterns that range from a widespread 90-degree flood to a 15-degree spot based on your vehicle's speed. Try that with your knockoff light bar. A dash-mounted controller allows the user to toggle between adaptive mode, beam patterns, and RGBW accent lighting. With Adapt, it's easier than ever to own the night.
From the 2018 Master Distillers of the Year comes a bold new American whiskey in Fistful of Bourbon. Their whiskeys have been award-winning for generations. Now they're going all in on bourbon, blending five straight whiskeys to create a big, balanced bourbon that stands apart from everything else. So grab yourself a fistful of bourbon, a blend of five bourbons created with over 100 years of whiskey blending experience. It ain't just a bourbon, it's a damn fistful. Please enjoy responsibly.
When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Time to get things fired up. And yes, we have a ton to talk about. I am still recovering from Baja, Nevada, where we officially took second place up there. Really excited about that. But motorsports has moved on since then, even if I haven't. And this past weekend was one of my favorite weekends of the year. It was Indy 500 qualifying weekend. And normally I'm actually back in Indianapolis, but because of Baja, Nevada, I opted to stay in Arizona and, recover a couple weekends on the road between Silver State and Baja, Nevada. Yeah, it was time to get my bearings and come back to center. And you know what? I was able to take in pretty much an entire week of all the practices of IndyCar. I was able to take in qualifying pretty much every minute of TV. I got this big 65-inch monitor here in the studio / my office. And, I put it up there on, what is it, Peacock now, right? Peacock TV. And just let it run on mute and watched pretty much everything I could in between doing interviews and running my media and marketing business. And really exciting month. The crazy thing is one thing about Indy is, I'm sure we'll get into it with Rossi and Hinch and Kelly, this week, but it seems like every single year there's just that one marquee guy that doesn't quite have the speed. And, we saw it with Will Power. Here's one of the baddest dudes on the planet in an Indy car, and he almost didn't make the field. Like, he literally almost got bumped out, went into bump day qualifying, and, he was able to sneak in there. But just the crazy thing about the Indy 500, the thing I absolutely love about it, and I know a lot of people hate it. NASCAR protects its drivers. They always protect, their key players. You're going to get in the show at the Daytona 500. You're going to get in. Regardless, we don't care who shows up, you're going to get in. Indy, it's the equalizer. That's why you get these crossover drivers come in, because everybody knows they got a fair shake. NASCAR, you don't have a fair shake, man. IndyCar, you absolutely have a fair shake, especially at the Indy 500. They don't care who you are. They will send your ass home. Hinch, yeah, a couple years ago, what was it, 2017, 2018? I should know right off the top of my head, but Hinch got sent home. Boy didn't qualify in. He was one of the top A-plus players, and he went home. Didn't qualify in. And he's been a pole sitter before. He's one of the faces of Honda, or was, of IndyCar. I mean, sheesh. He's as big as name as they come, and, they sent him home. So that's one thing I love is everybody knows if you've got a car, you can show up to the Indianapolis 500, and everybody has a fair shake to make the field. No favorites. And, and Will Power, obviously, he snuck in. But it was just by the skin of his teeth. And, it was interesting. It was a nail biter. You got Fast 9. I love everything about how they do qualifying for IndyCar. I know a lot of the drivers don't. It's probably the most stressful weekend of their lives or their careers every year. But I like it. Nobody is guaranteed a spot. And I think it's the purest form of motorsport you can have, where it doesn't matter if you are the greatest driver on the planet. They will send you home. What, Fernando Alonso a couple years ago? Alonso didn't make the cut. I mean, here's, one of the most recognizable faces in the entire world when it comes to motorsport. They sent him home. He didn't make the cut. Sorry, Alonso. Coming up short. See you later. And that is one thing that I love about Indy. It is pure in the purest form, and it is great. I can't wait for this Sunday. I will watch all 500 miles of this race. hands down. Do I have a favorite? Absolutely not. There was some great odds, and I threw some money on some drivers, but I've got too many friends in the field to have a favorite here. I just want to see a great race that goes down to the finish, and I guarantee you that's what we're going to see. And fingers crossed, no rain delays, right? Because the rain just screws up, and we've had, knock on wood. Yes, I'm sitting in front of a desk in the studio that is wood, and we're going to knock on that wood that what we've seen so far through qualifying and practices with no rain holds up this Sunday, and we don't have it there as well. Because, man, wouldn't that be great to see Indy 500 with no rain delays? But fingers crossed, it could happen. We will see, but hopefully I didn't just jinx it. But, yes, Indy was amazing this past week. Weekend and the qualifying, and you know, it's almost a race within the race, and I think that's what's cool. You know, you know, it's so gripping, and even like Daytona 500 does not have that, that emotion, and you know, because everybody at the end of the day, no matter how bad you qualify, you know, you still got a spot in the field, and Indy is definitely not that way. So yeah, that happened. We also, you know, we had NASCAR. We had NASCAR running at Circuit of the Americas. This one I was kind of, I was up in the air about, mainly because I love road racing and I love NASCARs on road courses. Those big boxes, it's just fun to watch them road course race. But it's got to be like a smaller, tighter track, right? And I was worried about Circuit of the Americas being so long and being a Formula One track. And even IndyCar was quite a bit slower than Formula One. It was still gripping and engaging, great road course. But I thought it might get boring because NASCARs just can't carry that speed that Indy and Formula One do. And even MotoGP that runs there, you know? And I was right to an extent, but the rain hit, right? And the drivers hated it. Now, NASCARs can road race in the rain. Everybody road races in the rain anywhere in the world. IndyCars, NASCAR, yes, you road race in the rain. Formula One, you know, Le Mans. It doesn't matter, you road race in the rain. Well, NASCAR drivers have never had to do that before, and you want to talk about a bunch of complainers. Man, it was crazy on social media. Oh, this is the most dangerous, scariest thing I've ever done, and I'm watching this, and I'm almost laughing because – you know, I come from off-road where we race in the blind more often than not. And is it at 200 miles an hour? No, it's at 100 plus miles an hour. So, yeah, but it's still dangerous. But we can't see, and we just drive what we can see. But those guys, for some odd reason, think they need to be able to drive 200 miles an hour when they can't see. And I don't know. It was just interesting. Yeah, they couldn't see. It was kind of a mess. It was a beep show to an extent. But I kind of like throwing drivers, you know, something different. As a fan, I like to see that. You know, as a driver, I like to experience that. It's why I do the different disciplines that I do. Not that I'm going to be great at all of them, but I try it just to see if I can expand my horizons, you know. And these drivers absolutely hated it, complained. It was a mess. They spun and I just started laughing, you know, and they're like, oh, we can't drive. We're spinning out. And I'm like, yeah, but you could go slower and not spin out. Like to me, you drive the track, you drive what's in front of you, drive what you can see and you drive the track. But I guess in NASCAR world, you don't do that. You still want to be able to send it at 100%. Like to me, you adjust your driving to the conditions you have. I guess NASCAR does not feel that way because we had a lot of drivers complaining and, yeah, it was quite a mess. I only watched bits and pieces of the broadcast. I was pretty busy with various other things, including Indy 500 stuff. But, yeah, I don't know. Interesting concept for NASCAR. Obviously, they're going to be back at Circuit of the Americas. It's a beautiful facility, and I'm sure there won't be rain next time. But supposedly NASCAR says they've got a bunch of adjustments to make, things like that. So, I don't know. But, yeah, we got a lot of stuff coming up this weekend. Obviously, the big one, we've got the Indy 500. We've got the Coca-Cola 600. Monaco Grand Prix happened last week. We didn't even talk about that. I tuned in and watched a bit of that. Can't say I'm a West Coast guy, so I had to get up pretty darn early. And I was nursing a fistful of bourbon hangover on Sunday, so I can't promise you that I watched the start. Yeah, I went up at 5:30 to watch the start Pacific time, but I did watch the finish, and I love Monaco. I love Formula One. I love the Monaco Grand Prix, mainly because it's so different. You know, I think Formula One's got, 22, 23 races on the calendar, something like that. Should know, don't know, off the top of my head. I know I'm in the ballpark. But if all of them were that way, yeah, it would be boring. But one race a year, I'll take a historic street course, you know, that's tight and twisty and not much passing, plays to qualifying more and pit strategy, things like that. Like, I'll watch that once a year, especially because Monaco and a beautiful backdrop. Cars have got bigger. I think that's Formula One's doing, you know. When they were smaller, it was definitely a little bit racier. But I don't know. They're talking about changing Monaco. Please don't change it. Keep it the way it is. I love Monaco for Monaco. I love the historic nature about it. You know, I don't want to see 22 Monacos a year, but I will see one and I'll tune in and I'll watch it. And it's still the crown jewel of Formula One. So to me, I don't want to see change there. I know a lot of people do. This might be a question for Twitter at JimBeaver15. Do you like Monaco the way it is? Do you want to see it changed? What are your thoughts? Because I like Monaco the way it is. You know, speaking of historic venues, in the off-road world, we got Antigo coming up next weekend. Yes, Antigo. You know that from Wisconsin way back when, one of the iconic Midwest short course tracks. It's been in hibernation for, 15, 20 years? And, yeah, it is coming back this year. We are about a week out from Antigo. Champ Off-Road kicking off their 2021 calendar there. And I'm really excited for that one to see that course in action again and see some of the top drivers in off-road doing battle. It's such a historic off-road venue. So that's going to be exciting. We got Crandon later on in June. I'll be at that one. But a lot of stuff happening in the world of motorsports. We're going to get even further into it today on the show. But before we do that, we're going to take a short commercial break. We come back, it is going to be Alexander Rossi, former Indy 500 winner, right here on the show on the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go, so let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible.
Don't just shred your way through any off-road rugged terrain. Get into gear with GSP XTV and let us redefine your adventure. The GSP Advantage of quality and performance sets a standard for UTV axles. We strive to provide premium ATV and UTV axles to keep you shreddy ready. Kick up some dirt and get in the driver's seat with GSP XTV. With over 35 years of experience, drive with a company you can trust. Drive with GSP. For more information, please visit us at GSPXTV.com today.
You're listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All killer and no filler.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I'd like to welcome my good friend Alex Rossi to the show. Alex, man, I guess this is the week, the calm before the storm, I like to call this week, right? Because a lot of off-track stuff for you guys that leads to the big one on Sunday. But how's everything been, man?
Yeah, it's been good. I mean, it's always a crazy month here in Indianapolis to try and go through practice and qualifying and everything all in preparation for the 500. But yeah, as you say, this week is kind of all of the media and community stuff that we do, which is just great to be able to do again. You know, at the end of the day, last year when we did the 500 in August, all of this kind of disappeared. So it's great to have some sense of normalcy back in racing.
Yeah, you know, I think that's the biggest thing. And how was that last year? I mean, I felt as a fan, I wasn't able to go back last year, or a media personality, but it felt just kind of weird. I mean, it was the Indy 500, and not taking anything away from the event. I mean, it was amazing that it was actually got to go on, but it's got to feel you as a driver a little special to be back in May. I mean, it's just something about this month and everything around Indy. It just, to me, it wasn't, there was something missing last year, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. I mean, I actually heard someone earlier today say that, you know, the drivers are the heart of IndyCar racing and the 500, but the fans are the soul of it. Right. So it's very, I think we all got a very rude awakening and gained a huge amount of appreciation for the fans and what they bring to the table last year when we didn't have anyone, when we did the 500 behind closed doors. So to be able to welcome the fans back in some capacity like we have this year is fantastic, and it's completely changed the whole feel of the race and the month. And you know, this is an event where the entire city and state kind of gets behind. So it's cool to have that back. It's why us as drivers love this race so much, and why it means so much to everyone involved.
Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit about the month of May. We'll talk about 2021 here in a bit, but you know, let's talk about leads us up till today. Obviously, I've watched most of the practice sessions on television, and you know, and you've been wicked quick all year or all week long. I mean, it leads us up to qualifying, and obviously, you're sitting in 10th. You're right outside of the fast nine. Obviously, you've got a car we know quick enough for the fast nine, but kind of take us through qualifying and you know, and then kind of lead us into some race strategy heading into Sunday. I mean, sitting 10th, man, you're sitting in a great spot, and sometimes I almost feel like, you know, being right there outside of the front couple of rows might actually be a benefit come race time. But kind of take us through qualifying and how you feel your car is and you know, that leads us into Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, I think the car has been fantastic all month. You know, we've been able to work through everything that we had on our list, if you will, and everything kind of was going as planned. Qualifying was a disaster. There's a lot of things that happened that prevented us from going out again. It was not my decision, ultimately. I was sitting in the car for about an hour and a half waiting to go, but that's a story for another day. But as you say, I mean, 10th is fine. I think the car easily is a top five car in qualifying had we been afforded the opportunity. But that's all behind us now. And, you know, I look at 19 and 20 when we were, you know, fighting for the win, and we started ninth, and obviously 2016, we started 11th. So, you know, we're definitely in with a shot, and have as good of an opportunity as anyone. And ultimately, you know, this race is really not about qualifying. You know, qualifying is cool. It's an ego boost for those who are successful. But, you know, 500 miles, we know the amount of variables that go into this race and how much can happen in the blink of an eye. And, you know, I think this year more than ever, with how competitive, you know, the series is, this race is really going to be won or lost on pit lane. You know, I think there's a lot to be gained or given away in pit lane. And then ultimately, who's the most aggressive with their kind of car setup going into the race? You know, these cars, especially with the aero screen, are a lot more difficult to follow and pass. And so those who are pretty aggressive with the mechanical balance of the car are often those that are rewarded.
So let's go back, I mean, a couple of years. Obviously, your first time at Indy, you know, you've won the Indianapolis 500. You know what it takes to win the 500. Now, in retrospect, you've done it quite a few times since then. I mean, is it good to – obviously, it's always good to win the Indy 500, but do you feel like winning that the first year now, knowing how tough it is to get back there to the winner's circle? I mean, was that good or bad winning so early in your IndyCar career, Alex?
I mean, it was probably a good thing. you know, the stress of trying to win it isn't really there. It's more just the desire to do it again because you know how special it is. But yeah, I mean, it's a hard one to answer. You know, you talk to the guys who, like your Tonys and Will Power and such, who had been trying for so long and always came up short, and then they finally won, and there's this huge break of emotion because they finally accomplished it, and they finally kind of defeated Indianapolis. But then you have the guys who, you know, have won it before, like Ryan Hunter-Reay, Scott, where, you know, they've won it, they know what it takes to win, and they know all that comes with winning. And then, you know, they have these years where, you know, you don't win. And each time the desire to kind of taste it again is exponentially growing. So I don't know if the guys who haven't won it have it easier, the guys who have won it have it easier, but regardless, all 33 men and women who are competing have, you know, only one thing on their mind this entire month, and that's winning the race.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, that being said, obviously, you know, a couple years ago, he came up second. I mean, it was, you know, nail biter down to the end, man. I mean, you know, it's one of those. I mean, how do you approach Sunday? I mean, race strategy, things like that. You got to be there at the end. But is it better to be leading? Is it better to be second in those closing laps? I mean, you know, obviously you got to get to that point. It's, you know, to be in that position also, you know, over 500 miles. But, you know, take us into a little race strategy come come Sunday, knowing you're, you know, you're starting in the 10th spot. And, you know, you got to, you know, you don't have a ton of traffic to work through. But obviously you got to play the long game in Indy.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it changes every year based on you know, what your strengths are to your competitors. I think Honda's done a phenomenal job again this year of really bringing a lot of ponies, and I think we have the upper hand on the competition from that standpoint. Whereas in 2019, you know, we were kind of on the other side of it, and so for me, like, the only chance I had was to try and be second, and Simon, you know, have some sort of flip or issue or something that would allow me to get a run on him, because, you know, we didn't have the speed to kind of punch a hole and lead in clean air. Whereas this year, I think it's a little bit different. So the strategy, you know, is for us, I mean, as much as you need to be there at the end, you also got to be in the top five for most of the race, just so that you can kind of control your own destiny. So I think for us, you know, the first stint or two, we got to be pretty aggressive and get track position. And once we're in the top five, then you can start playing the chess game of understanding where people are good and bad, and where you know, you can save fuel on them and play that part of the strategy. And at the end of the day, no one really wants to lead Indy until the last lap. You know, it's really a big disadvantage to go out there and tow everyone along while you're out there as the leader in clean air. You know, it's not really the way to run the race. So it's always a back and forth of guys trying not to lead, but obviously someone does. So it's always fun, you know, kind of from mile 100 to 400, you're always just jockeying for position, and everyone has their preferred spot. And then you get to the last 100 miles for the final stint. And then it's kind of a free for all, and everyone's obviously going for the win.
Yeah, so, you know, in closing, I guess obviously we've got the big race coming up Sunday. I mean, how tough is this you as a driver? I mean, Indy's the weird one. You qualify a week before your race. I mean, in years past, I mean, it's been sometimes multiple weeks of qualifying, things like that. But, you know, obviously you got an entire week here. You're doing a lot of interviews like this one. Like you said, a lot of community events, a lot of media obligations, fan activations, things like that. I mean, is it tough, you know, to qualify and then know you don't race for an entire week? I mean, heck, you're not even in the car until Friday. You know, it's almost like you got to reset, you know, and then turn Friday, you've got, you know, carb day, things like that. But how tough is it with this week in between? I mean, do you kind of lose a bit of your, I don't know, man. It's just, to me, it's got to be really tough as a driver to take a week off in between qualifying the event.
It's honestly not that bad. You know, we spend a lot of time in the car from Tuesday all the way through yesterday evening. And it's honestly nice. It's nice to not go to the racetrack today. It's nice not to sit in a race car and pound around. You know, it gives everyone time to kind of catch their breath and reset and look at everything and, you know, really analyze what your strengths and weaknesses are. You know, carb day, you know, you have the 2 hours to kind of get your feet wet and get back into the mindset of, you know, what you need to be doing. So it's honestly not that big of a deal. I think if we had to go straight to the race today, I think everyone's pretty burnt out and it wouldn't be a good thing. It wouldn't be a great situation.
Well, Alex, always fun having you on the show, my friend. I know you got a lot of these to do today, so we'll let you go. But always appreciate the time, and looking forward to seeing you chase down another Indy 500 victory come Sunday.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you having me. Thanks so much.
And we'll be back right after this.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host a Down and Dirty radio show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest, and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than and Polaris in their award-winning lineup of RZR vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a RZR 170 like me, take the entire family out in a RZR XP 4-1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new RZR XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris RZR. Check out the full Polaris RZR lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris RZR. Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go, so let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more. Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next catback exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris RZR. I'd like to welcome returning guest Dalton Kellett to the line. Dalton, it's been almost a year, I would say, probably to the day since we've had you on the show, man. Well, I guess not necessarily. I guess Indy was last year in August. But, man, another Indy 500. How's everything going, buddy?
Yeah, it's good, Jim. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I guess it's more a year in spirit than on calendar dates. But, no, it's good. Happy to be back at Indy and happy to be at the track with fans back in the stands.
Yeah, I know that's
been a much more exciting year.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's got to be pretty exciting for you. I mean, obviously, you know, last year was last year, and I think we were all just excited to have any kind of racing that we were able to get. But have Indy fans in the stands, I mean, it's going to be full capacity come Sunday. I mean, this is what the Indy 500 is. I've told people it's never been to the Brickyard, never been there for the Indy 500. I'm like, that place is special. You just walk in and you feel different, and especially come Memorial Weekend when that place is packed, like, there's just this energy in the air, and it's just something special, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Last year was last year. So that's a good way to put it. The energy there is definitely, it's so unique. I feel like the 500, even if you're not a race fan, it's like, it's just one of those events that you have to do once in your life just to experience it. You know, the energy on the pre-grid and with all the pomp and ceremony beforehand, and we're getting back to that. It's not quite full capacity this year. Like, it's 40% with it's 140,000 people in the stands that it's opened up to. So, you know, we've got some of the best fans in motorsport, best fans in sport, and we're super excited to have them back for the race with us.
Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit about your month of May, man, because I gotta say, How good was it to feel after qualifying on, after qualifying to know, hey, I'm locked into the field. I don't have to go through bump day. I don't have to go through that drama. Like, how big of a relief off of it was your shoulders to qualify in and not have to come back and run the car on Sunday?
I'll tell you what, I slept a lot better that night than I would have if we had to go back and try to make the field in last chance qualifying for bump day. So it felt great. You know, the team gave me a good car. I felt like overall we lost a little bit of pace in that number four KLN car overnight from Fast Friday. We thought we were pretty racy after our last couple Q sims on Friday there, but I think we just kind of missed the gears a bit and had a bit too much scrub in the car, and made the afternoon pretty pretty stressful for us. But it turned out to be some great drama for the fans. I'm sure it was super exciting for everyone watching.
Yeah, you know, and obviously, you know, you do that, and then you're back. Is there anything you know standing there? Obviously, you've got, you know, you had a teammate still trying to qualify in and things like that. But anything you can take away from Sunday, actually being able there, just stand around in your hat and your polo shirt, and you know, you're not in the car. Is there anything you as a driver can take away? Or what are you watching? You watching data? You watching lines? Anything you can take away that, you know, makes your program better come next Sunday?
No, I think during the bump day qualifying, I was really just there kind of watching and cheering on Charlie. Like they had, you know, their timing stand was pretty busy with, you know, people from our crew trying to help them out. So there wasn't really a whole lot of space for me to provide any input. And, you know, that's not really my place to be doing that. But I still felt like it was, you know, good to see what the engineers were focusing on. And it was really a team effort. You know, overnight, we all worked together trying to help Charlie and see what it was that, you know, they could learn from the other three cars, trying to get them in the show. Sadly, it wasn't enough and it didn't work out for them, but it was definitely a team effort across the four Foyt cars.
Yeah. Well, you know, let's look at 2021 as a whole for you. And, you know, how, you know, obviously it's always good as a driver to get something locked in where you got a full year. And how is it this year, you know, being locked in, knowing you got a full year there with Foyt, you get a chance to really stretch your legs, kind of feel the program out. You know, obviously, you ran with Foyt last year as well. I mean, how is 2021 looking? You know, you as a driver able to just mature and take more data, more in. Some of these tracks you're seeing again for you know, second time. Obviously, you saw them in Indy Lights before. But, you know, 2021 as a whole, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling good with our program, you know, having Seb on full time on the 14 car and me full time in the four car. I feel like it's been a good combo where we're, you know, working really well together, and Seb's just immensely talented and experienced. So having his background and his input, you know, for me personally has been great because it's given, you know, me a great resource to really tap into. And like I said, trying to grow and learn as a driver, there's definitely still, you know, some intricacies and sort of bits about this car that I'm trying to figure out. And it's having that full year really helps give you the time and, you know, the kind of runway to do that. Whereas last year things were a little bit more rushed. So that extra track time is great to have for sure.
Yeah. Well, and that being said, I was going to ask you, you know, you kind of led into it, but how is it you as a young driver, man? You've had an opportunity not many get. I mean, last year you had Tony, you know, in the ecosystem there at Foyt, and this year you've got, you know, obviously you've got Sebastian there. I mean, you know, having these assets in place, and obviously you're with an organization that's been around for a long time. I mean, that's had to have been really beneficial for you as a driver to have, you know, these guys you can rely on and kind of pick their brains when you know, you've got a question or maybe just need a, you know, a bit of an advice.
For sure. And I think that's, you know, that's, you kind of hit the nail right on the head. So having the access to those guys, I think is a great part of, you know, the way that Larry and the team have structured this, where you've got kind of a young guy and a more experienced veteran. It sort of helps, you know, the both those guys work off each other, and, you know, me being able to go to Seb when I have questions and tap into his input has already been paying dividends, I feel like, this season. So I'm definitely liking the way that we're working together, and we've got, you know, the big race coming up this weekend, but we've got a lot of races left on the calendar, and I'm excited to see what we can do.
Yeah, so, you know, let's talk a little bit about the big one this Sunday. Obviously, you qualified into the field at 30th. I mean, take us through a little strategy. Obviously, you know, you got to play the long game at Indy. You got to be there at the end. You know, what's kind of the plans there to try and work your way through traffic?
Yeah, we've got our work cut out for us for sure. You know, we really would have liked to have been starting further up the field, but that's how it goes sometimes. I think, you know, in our last practice on Sunday after the Fast 9 qualifying, we found some stuff that's making the car feel pretty racy. So we were definitely able to follow closer than we were earlier in the week and set some guys up for passes. So, which has been really hard. Like that's been the kind of the crux this year, is actually getting the car to a place where you can comfortably follow close enough and make a pass, and it's been quite tough to do that. So we're working on that, and I think we'll be able to do that come race day. And really, it'll depend on, you know, how, if there's early yellows and how you play that. Do you come in for tires and fuel early, or do you stay out, try to get track position? And, you know, when you're further back, you occasionally have to take a risk, like staying out when you might normally want to pit for tires and fuel, if it's like half stint or so in that first stint or two. And, you know, that might let you leapfrog some people in the order, and then you might need to do some fuel saving in the middle of the race. And then as things kind of start to coalesce and you're seeing how the pit windows are lining up for the end, you're just trying to plan those last couple stops and put yourself in a good spot for the end.
Yeah. Well, here's a question. Obviously, you've been at Indy multiple times. You've done the Freedom Race there and you know, finished on the podium. You know, that was, you know, infinitely shorter than the Indy 500. How tough is it for a driver to keep your mind focused for 500 miles? I mean, that's 2,000 corners there at Indy, and you've got to hit every single one of them almost perfect, you know? How tough is it for you to stay focused for that long in the car?
It is pretty hard. You know, it's definitely a mental challenge. I mean, the race can be up to, you know, 3 hours long or so, depending on the yellows, and it's going to be hot. So especially, you know, with the aero screen, cockpit temperatures are pretty high. So it's, you know, it's physical as well, but it's really more of a mental challenge. And not only on the personal side, on the driver side, but on the car side, you're also trying to tune the car in the pit stops, whether you're adding or taking wing out to trim up for the end, or if you need to adjust the balance with a front wing change or tire pressure changes. So that's where the communication with the team comes in. And, you know, really it's just, you have to stay present in the moment and just focus on driving and not really let yourself think ahead to results, think ahead to the finish, just be, you know, corner by corner, lap by lap.
Yeah. Well, big one, obviously Indy this weekend, you know, forward looking. I know the IndyCar schedule is kind of crazy because you get through this biggest event of the year and it immediately throws you into just a ton of races with doubleheaders in Detroit, and you start hitting that stretch over the summer. You know, as Indy wraps up, anything you're looking forward to on the calendar this year? Any specific events?
Well, I've never been to, I've been to Belle Isle. I drove the, not the pace car, but the kind of two-seater pace cars for the Indy Racing Experience a number of years ago. So I've been around the track, but never raced there. So looking forward to Detroit. Personally, I love the street courses. So capping off the season at Long Beach is going to be a great experience. That whole West Coast swing that we're ending the year with is what I'm looking forward to. That Portland, Laguna, Long Beach trio is going to be super fun.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of an interesting way to end the year this year for sure. It's got me definitely looking forward to being out at Long Beach to cap things off. I think weather should be great that time of year, so definitely a way to cap things off. But, man, we've got the Indy 500 this weekend. What's the rest of the week look for you?
Lots of media stuff. We've got, you know, interviews like we're doing now. We have some local engagements with schools, and I think we have a STEM engagement with some local schools in the area on Wednesday. Then we have media day with IndyCar, which traditionally they would fly everyone out to various markets and do in-person interviews, but we've, you know, with COVID and whatnot, we're doing that all virtually, so we're all going to be at IMS. Carb day on Friday for our final practice, and then it's Saturday, then Sunday's the race. So it's a busy week, but I've got, you know, kind of today and tomorrow to have a bit of downtime and just kind of get ready for the weekend.
Well, Dalton, best of luck this weekend. We'll definitely be tuned in to watch you, and you know, appreciate you taking the time to call into the show.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it. I'll see you there at Long Beach.
And we're signing off with Dalton Kellett here. We got a couple minutes before we do hit the break, but you know, one of my favorite things about interviewing IndyCar drivers, and we saw this with my good friend Zach Veach, who we had on numerous times, and Dalton Kellett, seems like, you know, we get these drivers and you know, we're able to kind of follow their career path around with them. And I love doing these interviews where we get to know the drivers on the show, you know, kind of in their rookie year and first time doing things, and then, you know, you follow up with them, you know, a year later, and you get to get their feedback and what, how they think things are going and what changes they've made in their career and, you know, their mentors. And obviously with Dalton, you know, he's had, you know, Tony Kanaan and now Sebastian Bourdais, two of the all-time greats, you know, as mentors. And, you know, you had Zach Veach, who was surrounded by Alex Rossi, Ryan Hunter-Reay, Marco Andretti. I mean, you know, Michael Andretti, and he was –
surrounded by some of the greats. And, like, to me, that's such a rad thing to be able to talk to these young drivers and see their mentors and hear their mentors and see how their career progresses and how they mature as drivers. And, you know, that's one thing I really enjoy about the show. And, you know, especially today, I mean, we've got, you know, a guy in Rossi who is, you know, the face of IndyCar right now, one of the faces of IndyCar, an Indy 500 winner. We've got Hinch, who's the veteran who's been around, you know, I don't want to say age him because he's still very young and he's still got a lot of years left in his career. But, you know, he's had the highs and lows of Indy. I mean, you know, he's been a pole sitter. He's been bumped from the field. He had the crash that, you know, that unfortunately almost took his life. And you know, and he's been around, he's won the Long Beach Grand Prix, he's won races. I mean, he's always in the hunt. And you know, it's so great to get such a mix on today's show of you know, young guns and stars, and it's so awesome to get that these different stories and how people are feeling about the biggest motorsport event in the world, in the Indianapolis 500, that is happening this Sunday. And I think that's freaking amazing. You know, we do the same thing with the Baja 1000 every year, and you know, and it's just kind of cool. And Crandon, and you know, and obviously I'm an off-road guy, so we lean heavy into the off-road stuff, but it's really kind of cool to get those vibes and those stories and those feelings, you know, and how they're approaching things. It's just refreshing. But yes, it is definitely time for me to stop rambling and us to cut to a short commercial break. We come back, we'll be wrapping up hour number one here on the show. Hour number two, we got Tiffany Stone and we got James Hinchcliffe on as well. So man, lots more to come right here on the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Conditions off the pavement are always changing, so why settle for a light bar that just turns on and off? The Rigid Adapt is a revolutionary new light bar that will automatically select from 8 beam patterns that range from a widespread 90 degree flood to a 15 degree spot based on your vehicle's speed. Try that with your knockoff light bar. A dash mounted controller allows the user to toggle between adaptive mode, beam patterns, and RGBW accent lighting. With Adapt, it's easier than ever to own the night.
From the 2018 Master Distillers of the Year comes a bold new American whiskey in Fistful of Bourbon. Their whiskeys have been award-winning for generations. Now they're going all in on bourbon, blending five straight whiskeys to create a big, balanced bourbon that stands apart from everything else. So grab yourself a Fistful of Bourbon, a blend of five bourbons created with over 100 years of whiskey blending experience. It ain't just a bourbon, it's a damn fistful. Please enjoy responsibly.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online, in syndication on networks across the U.S., and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Welcome back here to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Man, big hour number one. Dalton Kellett, driver for AJ Foyt, Alex Rossi, driver for Andretti Autosport, and Indy 500 champ. Yeah, we got a lot still to come in hour number two. Good friend Tiffany Stone is going to be on to talk a little bit about what's happening in the dirt. We got James Hinchcliffe going to be on this hour as well, driver for Andretti Autosport and former pole sitter in the Indianapolis 500. He's going to be on to talk about this weekend's big Indy 500. And, yeah, you know, I want to take a chance, though, to thank all of our listeners. Specifically, this is Memorial Day weekend, and I am very honored that this show airs on the U.S. American Forces Network. I know we've got a lot of military stationed both here in the States, but more importantly, overseas, who not only tune into this show on the American Forces Network, but do amazing things for our country. You allow us to go racing this weekend. You allow me the opportunity to basically do radio for a living. And thank you guys for everything you do. I know you're not here, but I am pouring a fistful of bourbon on Monday, and I am going to be having a drink in your guys' honor, so, and women's honor, you know, all of our military. But thank you for everything that you do. And, you know, I am a massive supporter of our military, and, you know, I appreciate sincerely from the bottom of my heart everything you have done
you know, to help keep us safe and keep us free and allow, you know, people like me to pursue our passions. And, you know, I know a lot of places in the world I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing. And thank you guys. So, yes, we are going to take a short commercial break. Hour number two, Tiffany Stone and James Hinchcliffe will be right here, locked, loaded, for another hour of the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. We'll be back after this short break.
You want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story. For 100 years, General Tire has provided tires for your lifestyle, your adventure, your anywhere. Born from competition, the Grabber Tire offers the durability and off-road traction you demand in a tire. We put these tires to the test in the harshest off-road racing conditions to give you a tire that will make your anywhere possible. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us photos at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible. Because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online, in syndication on networks across the U.S., and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Welcome to hour number two of the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Yes, if you're just tuning in on SiriusXM, U.S. American Forces Network, Sports Byline, or Podcast One, my website, Apple Podcasts, I am Jim Beaver. I'm hosting this thing. 10 years in, I'm still here in the saddle. And right now, we're going to roll into a Dirtfish Rally Report brought to you by our good friends at Dirtfish Rally School. Find out more information on the web at www.dirtfish.com. And if you want to go up there and you want to get some training, you can shoot me a DM on social media. It's at JimBeaver15. Or you can use the coupon code JimBeaver15. And that's going to get you 15% off any and all classes at Dirtfish Rally School. And trust me, it is going to get your driving game on point. I don't care what you do. Ton of fun and definitely a great way to spend a few days in the dirt. Or even just a day if you know that's all you want to do. But yeah, Dirtfish. Right now, big one. Extreme E, round two. Obviously, we had round one in Saudi Arabia. Round two is upon us, and it is going to be in Senegal. Kind of around, going to be running, I believe, areas around the Dakar Rally, former Dakar Rally when it ran in Africa. But, yeah, things are happening over there in Senegal, and I got to tell you, I'm kind of amped for this. You know, it's I think the biggest storyline, what everybody is worried about, is Chip Ganassi Racing. You know, obviously Kyle Duke and Sarah Price, they were the ones, they were this dark horse, they were the ones, you know, people picked to just destroy the competition and have an amazing, amazing run in Extreme E. And, you know, it's safe to say Kyle probably overdrove the car a little bit. You know, that would be probably an understatement. But, you know, yeah. You know, they did not have a great showing at Saudi Arabia, and I believe
that they are going to be a force to be reckoned with. And I think definitely podium contenders could sleep in and take a victory here in round number two. So, yeah, that is kind of the biggest storyline, I think, is going to be that, you know. But, you know, obviously Dakar is going to be a little bit different than Saudi, but not too far different as far as terrain goes. So, you know, I think drivers going to be able to ease in pretty well and should be exciting. But, yes, Extreme E on tap this weekend. Be looking for that. And Dirtfish, dirtfish.com, will have all full coverage of the Extreme E Championship this weekend. And with that, we're going to take a short commercial break. We'll be back with Tiffany Stone right here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Razor.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host a Down and Dirty Radio Show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor. Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go, so let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible.
From the 2018 Master Distillers of the Year comes a bold new American whiskey in Fistful of Bourbon. Their whiskeys have been award-winning for generations. Now they're going all in on bourbon, blending five straight whiskeys to create a big, balanced bourbon that stands apart from everything else. So grab yourself a Fistful of Bourbon, a blend of five bourbons created with over 100 years of whiskey blending experience. It ain't just a bourbon, it's a damn fistful. Please enjoy responsibly.
Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for 15% discount.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next cat-back exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I'd like to welcome one of my favorite human beings, Tiffany Stone, to the line. T-Stone, what is going on? I hear you're up at the lake.
I am. It's been a pretty busy year so far. Super thankful about that, but needed some time to kind of like regroup. So honestly, I'm making chicken wings right now to like put on the grill and just kind of relax until next week. And then we have Antigo, and then I've got Southern Ohio Forest Rally. So, yeah, it's just been pretty busy.
Yeah, so here's a question. You're putting some wings on the grill. Are you, like, a grilling aficionado, like you pride yourself in your grilling, or is this something like, hell, I got to cook something, I'll just throw it on the grill?
A little bit of both, just obviously trying to learn here and there all the time. This is in no way, shape, or form a sponsored ad in any way, but I really enjoy – Famous Dave chicken wing, spicy hot season, use it on everything type of deal. Like I've been finding stuff that I like, and then I know me, once I like it, and that's kind of about the end of it. So that's what I like to use. So Famous Dave's, if you hear me, shout out to you, because I enjoy your seasoning for your chicken wings.
You know, and that's one of the things that, and you and I have talked about kind of food on the show and stuff like that before, but it's one of the things, I love our lifestyle, you know, the traveling, sometimes it wears on us. Like right now, you're like, I need a reboot. Like at times I need a reboot, right? But like when I'm not on the road, like last year for months on end, like it got kind of weird. But one of my favorite parts of being on the road, hotels aren't one of them. Like I would much rather have my bed than a hotel bed any day of the week, but it's the food. Like there's not many people that have been able to try the best food in every area of this country. And I have, like, I go to Texas, I'm going to try some barbecue, and I want to go to the place that they say is the best damn barbecue, you know? I go to one of the coasts, and I'm eating seafood, and, you know, and things like that. And I think that's one of the things that I really appreciate, is that people like you and I have been able to try, like, everybody hears about the lobster in Maine. I've tried the lobster in Maine. It is that good, you know? Like, I am fortunate, and you're fortunate, we get to try those foods that everybody talked about from all over around the country, you know?
No, exactly. And that's what's so awesome about everything, is like we do get to try all the awesome food throughout it. You and I were actually just talking when I was up in Olympus area, well, Shelton area for Olympia, for, you know, the Olympus rally. I was getting oysters and seafood every single night that I could, because it's like, I'm here, you might as well do it. And it's the same thing you said, when we go to coast. You know, when I'm in Arizona, I try to get tacos. When I'm other places, you know, I try different types of food. When I'm in St. Louis, Kansas City, like you said, barbecue. So it's very fortunate. I'm very thankful to do that. And the funny thing sometimes is I can tell you some of the best restaurants that are not in Michigan, because that's how much I travel.
That is a true story. Like I you know, and it's like there's some in Arizona and SoCal that I get so much, and people are like, I want to go there, I want to go there, I want to go there. And I'm like, yeah, I go there all the time. Like, and I feel spoiled. It's like In-N-Out. I love me some In-N-Out, but it's like, I feel bad because there's people in other parts of the country that never get In-N-Out, and they're like, they crave it. And you know what I mean? And it's like, yeah, I'm a little spoiled. Like you said, the tacos, the Mexican food down here. Like I go anywhere else in the country, they're like, let's go get some good Mexican food. And I'm like, yeah, Wisconsin, I don't know that that's a thing. No, it's really good. And I'm like, yeah, but it's, even if it's good by Wisconsin Mexican food standards, it's not going to hold up to Arizona and SoCal Mexican food standards. Like, I'm sorry. Like, you know, it's just like, so certain parts of me feel bad because it's like I'm raining on their parade, where they actually, by Wisconsin standards, it might be good Mexican, but it's just not, you know?
No, I completely agree with you on that one. And that's where it is. It's just like, sometimes you're just like, I don't know. It's like, my mom is from Thailand. So when people are like, let's go get some really good Thai food, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if you can beat my mom's Thai food, but yes.
Yeah. So let's talk about what you've been up to, because I know we'll get into the stuff. You and I, we're going to Cran in the end of June. We've got some other stuff to talk about before then. But you were what? At the Ultimate Call-Out Challenge. So tell me about this Ultimate Call-Out Challenge. This is drag racing diesel trucks. Like, this is always kind of interesting. You know, you got big, I mean, massive black smoke billowing out. Like, you know, how cool is this compared to NHRA? I mean, we have some friends in NHRA. You've been around NHRA. I mean, you know, you've been around Top Fuel cars. You know Antron. You know, how is it just as gratifying watching diesels just drag race, or is it kind of not? Like, give me the lowdown here, T-Stone.
No, it is. And first and foremost, I will say that I was completely somewhat out of my element. Obviously, like you said, NHRA, I've been around drags. I've done all of that. This is actually the second time I went to UCC, and it's in Indianapolis. And I did kind of like a T-Stone takeover for Amsoil, which was always awesome. But it's out of my element. Like, yes, I have lifted Jeeps, but I don't have like lifted trucks, where these are all show vehicles. They had over 300 different show trucks, which is really, really cool. And what I like about it is, if you're in an automotive or if you're in motorsports, and say you don't necessarily know this, but you appreciate it, that's kind of what I felt. Like, yeah, I'm not into diesel trucks. I have never built one. I don't think I've ever driven a diesel truck. But like, the amount of work and the amount of love and the amount of time that goes into this, you really have to appreciate it. And, you know, I know Michael Dalton from RLC Motorsports, and it was really cool to see him down there, especially with his bright orange fast fuel truck. And it was just cool to be able to talk to some people about that because, you know, it's all this, it's same, same, but different. Like I tell everybody, like we all do the same things, but it's kind of different. And they're great. I mean, we saw some trucks just take to, you know, the lanes, and it's just, it's really cool. Something that you need to see. And what was unique about this event was UCC is kind of, you know, there's the DPI, the Diesel Performance Industry Show. And then there's also, you know, the drags for the ODSS series, and they've combined it. And, you know, they even had like a burnout challenge, which was really cool to see some of our friends over there do some burnout challenge, you know, especially from the Red Diesel podcast guys. They brought a van out there and drifted a van. So that's always really cool to see that. And I don't know, it's just, it was really different, but unique. And like I said, same, same, but different. Overall, great weekend.
Have you wanted to throw like a supercharger on your Jeep or something like that and go and drag race some diesel truck guys?
I do. I've talked about it. There's the 440 Magnuson. There's a Hamburg one. There's tons of different things, but I'm not into all of that. So it would be very hard for me to really grasp, but I want to. But I've also heard some of the superchargers, there's too much boost for the standard 3.6. So it's a touchy situation. Parts of me just kind of want to get a new diesel Jeep and then tear that down and kind of drag race that. But anybody who's ever driven a Jeep, we're not very aerodynamic in some sense. So I don't know how fast a diesel Jeep would be doing some drags, but it's always out there to think about.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, and honestly, I feel like having like a supercharger on your Jeep or a diesel Jeep would be different because diesels are meant to kind of idle and things like that. But I feel like taking your gas engine Jeep and throwing like a supercharger on it or something like that, I feel like when you go out and crawl at like Moab and stuff like that, it'd be a pain in the ass, Tiff. Like, and obviously I haven't done enough rough rock crawling to know, but I'm like, man, because, you know, the way boost works and have to spool it up, things like that, like to me, it just wouldn't be beneficial in the rocks, you know, like, I don't know. It just, you know, like my turbo razor, like I got to keep that thing spooled up. You know what I mean? You've got, you know, it's all about momentum, things like that. And with rocks where you're on and off the gas and kind of babying it and kind of easing over stuff, I feel like, I don't know that a supercharger would be the best option there. You know, I think that naturally aspirated horsepower is definitely the way to go. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
No, same thing. And honestly, at the end of the day, if I'm just going to drag race a diesel or a drag race a Jeep, I might as well just do the 392, you know. That's kind of been proven, add some things, change some things on there, but start with the 392. I don't know. It's all talks. There is some ideas in my head to be able to do that, but like I said, how aerodynamic is a Jeep? I think a cow is more aerodynamic than a Jeep, so maybe that's going to be on the back burner for me.
Yeah. Speaking of, though, I mean, you've got these big, like, F-350s and, you know, and these big Dodges and things like that. And yeah, they're not quite as aerodynamic either, so I don't know. That's what I think. I've seen some diesel drags I think is interesting, you know. And one thing I love, too, is a lot of them are just lifted up, big-ass tires, things like that, you know. And it's like it's so not the vehicle you would think would be drag racing, you know.
No, exactly. What's kind of cool is it just, you know, all different styles, all different flavors, all different everything. Overall, the show and shine was really, really cool just because you got to see what people conceptualize and what their ideas are, and they come together and put it together. And you know, this a really nice 79 won the show and shine. It was done in white. It was really, really clean. And you know me, I'm all about not old styles, but like, you know, dent sides. I do like square bodies. I enjoy the older vehicles. The C10 is always great. I'm a huge Dodge A100 fan, so if you've ever seen one of those, it's pretty cool. There's a one on my Instagram you can check out from Last Barrett Jackson, but it's just really, really cool. I enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to possibly going back. And who knows, Jim, maybe next year I'll build a lifted truck and bring it to UCC on my own.
Well, I would love to see that, but we got to take a short commercial break. We'll be back after this on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Don't just shred your way through any off-road rugged terrain. Get into gear with GSP XTV and let us redefine your adventure. The GSP advantage of quality and performance sets a standard for UTV axles. We strive to provide premium ATV and UTV axles to keep you shreddy ready. Kick up some dirt and get in the driver's seat with GSP XTV. With over 35 years of experience, drive with a company you can trust. Drive with GSP. For more information, please visit us at gspxtv.com today.
Conditions off the pavement are always changing, so why settle for a light bar that just turns on and off? The Rigid Adapt is a revolutionary new light bar that will automatically select from 8 beam patterns that range from a widespread 90 degree flood to a 15 degree spot based on your vehicle's speed. Try that with your knockoff light bar. A dash mounted controller allows the user to toggle between adaptive mode, beam patterns, and RGBW accent lighting. With Adapt, it's easier than ever to own the night.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Jim Beaver here, along with Tiffany Stone. Yes, she didn't hang up over the break. She is still here. We got another round of chatting to do, and we're going to shift gears here, though, because I know we got short course season about ready to kick off in the Midwest. She's going to be at Antigo. We're both going to be at Crandon. But before we jump into that, I know you got some rallying to do, Southern Ohio Forest Rally. This rally, Tiff, is actually one I have never been to. I've been to pretty much every rally on the calendar. But, you know, when I was working in kind of the voice of stage rally in the U.S., this one wasn't on the calendar. And the year after I left, this popped onto the calendar. So give me the lowdown on Southern Ohio, because I haven't been there. And I know interesting stuff. I mean, Ken Block's been showing up. I know McKenna's car just was deemed legal for stage rally for ARA. I know there was this big gray area, and they just deemed it legal for at least this year. I think the rules are going to change for 2022, but we got a lot of storylines happening in stage rally right now.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, we've got some big names. Obviously, a good friend of yours, Travis Pastrana, is doing the whole thing with his teammate, Brandon Semina, for Subaru Motorsports and Vermont Sport Car. So that's always cool. Ken Block, he's been talking about obviously doing the whole season, and he's in that brand new Subaru as well. So it's kind of cool to see some of the two top guys, especially Ken being such a great driver. Obviously, you've seen all the stuff that he's done with rally and all the drifting. So it's really cool to see that. And then Barry McKenna. So you have a great set of guys, you know, that are going for that championship, at least, you know, 5, 6, 7 different of the top guys that are running all the nationals. So it's pretty cool to see. I've actually never been to Southern Ohio. I had a friend that passed away last year, right around the time. And it was a tragic accident. So I kind of took that time off. So I actually didn't go, but I know that they race at night. We start late. We go into the evening, then we start early the next day. I mean, podium and awards are going to be 10 p.m. on one night. So it's really cool to have some stage rally that's done at night, especially because a lot of people like Ken, they use the rigid lights, and that's just going to light everything up. And it's a true testament, because you start to see shadows, you start to see things that you didn't see before. And it just shows how great of pace notes the co-driver and yourself need to take, and then how great you are as a driver, and then how well you and your co-driver work together to be able to dominate some of those stages. So looking forward to it. Honestly, if it does not rain, I will be the happiest person in the world, because it seems like every rally I've been going to has been raining. So I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, Southern Ohio is going to be a good time.
Yeah, with rally, it's the weird one. I guess desert racing's a bit the same. I don't mind desert racing in the rain, but with stage rally, it's like you want it about 3 or 4 days before the rally to rain, so it's not dusty. But then you don't want any rain come race day. You know, it's like once drivers hit the stage, it's just one of those weird things where, yeah, rain is not your friend in rally when it's happening. Because, and especially if you're media like you or like I, because man, you're trudging around in the muck, and it's a mess, Tiff.
No, exactly. And then once it stops raining and the sun comes out, you're stuck in the middle of the woods or the forest, and
humid.
Bugs come out. So
yeah, it's humid. That being said, speaking of mud, the place we do expect mud and a whole hell of a lot of it, Antigo Crandon coming up. I talked about Antigo kind of to start the show, Tiff, and, you know, I want to chime in on this one. I'm not actually going to Antigo. You are, but how rad is it to be see Antigo back on the calendar? And, you know, it's been well over a decade since Antigo has been raced on, and I'm kind of excited to see this back. And, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's bringing something back from the dead. That's always rad in motorsports.
No, it's also cool. And like you said, I have never been there because I didn't start I didn't start with it until after they had done it. I think it was probably during the core days or the more days, one of those. But just looking forward to it, I think it's going to be awesome. I mean, there's six races for the season for Champ Off-Road, and, you know, it'll be really cool. Obviously, we always enjoy Labor Day weekend back at Crandon, but it's always great to go back to Crandon at the beginning of June for the brush run. And being able to see everybody, looking forward to some things. And honestly, I'm looking forward to seeing how it's going to shape up, especially since Lucas Oil no longer has their short course. So who's coming out there? How many people are going to be there? You know, I think I saw a number, and I could be wrong, but a number where there was at least like 7 Pro 4s already signed up, and then maybe a dozen or so Pro 2s. So it's cool to see all of that happening. And then, you know, I always enjoy seeing everybody, especially all the Vision Wheel guys. So it's a good time.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the big things. This is really going to be the first year. And I know we've got that Great American Short Course, and that's kind of more of a regionalized. It's basically taking place of the Lucas Oil Regionals. You know, so that's going on. And, you know, there's some guys kind of testing and tuning there. But I think this six-race series is, everybody's looking at it as the marquee series. And this is the first time we've ever had a truly unified series. And I think this is going to be – it's going to be huge this year. Like you said, Pro 4 is back. It's going to be a stack field. Pro 2, you know, we're going to have full-time guys that we're running in the West, now in the Midwest. It's got me really excited. I know it's definitely helped some of these guys with sponsors. Now you got – you know, the tire companies, the oil companies, everybody's going into one series. I think it's definitely made things a little bit healthier for the drivers to find sponsorship and easier to pitch. I mean, this has got me really, really excited to see some stacked fields in short course. And not that we didn't have them in certain divisions before, but now, man, this is going to be the best of the best. I think it's going to be tough to win this championship in 2021.
No, I agree with you. And I just think it's going to be really, really cool to see everything come together. And obviously, a lot of people have been doing some things in the off season. The Greaves, of course, the Van Eprens, you know, been doing some things. I've also seen Kyle Chaney do some stuff. So it's really cool to see that. And, you know, everybody loves short course. And if you haven't been to a short course, you're kind of missing out. Just imagine everything happening in one area. You can see all of the carnage. You can see all of the chaos in one area. And I'm hoping for some good racing this year.
So most importantly, are you and I taking the Jeep on the Ultra 4 track? I mean, come on, Tiff. You know where this has got to happen.
I mean, we've always taken the Jeep on the Ultra 4 track. And I need to make sure that my wheels are all good to go since I'm getting some new ones put on before the race. And, you know, not that you need to shake down some wheels, but why don't we shake down some wheels?
Yeah. So are we going to take it over the rock pile? That's the next question. If we take it on the Ultra 4 track, we always bypass the rock piles. Rock pile in play this year?
Yes, 100% the rock pile is in play. And the rock pile is going to be more in play. Because the way that I look at it, yes, everybody's working. But if worse comes to worse, there are enough teams there that could help me fix my Jeep if need be. So that's exactly what we're going to end up doing. I did a little part of it last year in Fall Crandon. Looking forward to maybe taking the bigger rocks this time. Just got some more time underneath my belt. Obviously, EJS was a success this year. Just did the Trailmanator with all of those guys out there. We did Pritchett Canyon again. So, yeah, just pretty excited about it all.
Yeah, how was EJS this year? I've heard the trails I heard were amazing. How was everything else? I've heard mixed reviews just overall. I know this is nothing against the organizers of EJS just coming out of the pandemic. I've heard the trail stuff was amazing. Overall, the event wasn't quite back to where it was pre-pandemic.
Honestly, first time going there, so I have nothing to really compare it to, but pretty excited. It was cool for me. Like you said, the trails were the best, and obviously, you know, I do enjoy vendor shows, but being able to go out to Moab and hit up 3, 4, 5 different trails within the few days that I was there was totally worth it. I do want to go back. You and I have been talking about possibly going back and just doing a one-off and creating some content, so I think that would be the plan, and overall, I think it's good and can't wait to go back.
Yeah, well, I guess bringing things full circle, you and I will both be crayon in the end of June. Are they going to have cheese curds this year, Tiff? I mean, man, they didn't have them last year. That was like the biggest complaint from everybody at Crannon, no cheese curds. I mean, have we got a definitive answer? Maybe we need to start firing off some texts to Tina and stuff. Hey, we're going to have cheese curds this year?
I hope so, because honestly, what I had to resort to last year when a good friend of mine, Luke Johnson, came in, who used to race a bunch of short course trucks, we ended up taking the fried chicken wings and dipping them in cheese. And that was legit, like legit, taking the wings and dipping them in cheese. So if we don't have cheese curds this year, Tina, we're going to be dipping the wings in the cheese again.
Yeah. Well, the thing we do know is group therapy will have apple pie moonshine. So there's always that as the fallback, right?
Always. And then, you know me, I'm going to probably have some bourbon or some whiskey or something like that.
Yeah, I got to have the whiskey. I'll bring the fistful. But Tiff, it is always fun catching up. We got to cut to a short commercial break, but always fun, T-Stone.
Same to you.
Yes, Tiff and I will be at Crannon later in June. I almost said later this month. I feel like it's June already. But yes, we got Memorial Weekend to get through first. She's headed to Antigo, Southern Ohio Forest Rally. She travels much as I do and always makes for great stories, and always appreciate her taking the time to call into the show. We're going to take a short break, and it's James Hinchcliffe right here on the show on return to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Whether you're looking for a tire that balances high performance responsiveness and traction in wet and light snow conditions, excellent handling and traction in wet and dry conditions, or a summer performance tire designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has you covered. From the all-new G-Max RS to the Grabber ATX, no matter what you drive, General Tire will get you where you're going. Learn more at GeneralTire.com. General Tire, cruising with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012. Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount.
You're listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All killer and no filler.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I'd like to welcome a guy. It's been, I'm going to think, at least 2 years since we've had you on air, but the mayor of Hinchtown, James Hinchcliffe. Welcome back to the show, buddy.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's been a while, but we got a lot to catch up on. It is the month of May. We're back in Indianapolis, and you are safely qualified into the Indy 500 field, so that's got to feel good.
It doesn't feel bad. You know, it was funny. We were sitting there watching the guys going for the last row game, trying to make the show yesterday. I felt for every single one of those teams and drivers, because obviously we've been on that you know, program before, and we've been on the winning side of it, we've been on the losing side of it, and it's just, it's so tough to watch, but at the same time, it's part of what makes Indy so special and what makes this race so exciting.
Well, and that's a good thing, and I wanted to bring it up to with you, and, you know, we kind of can just roll right into it, I guess, and lead with that, but it seems like every year, I mean, you know, you're one of the top guys in the sport. Will Power is one of the top guys in the sport. You know, you obviously a few years back didn't qualify, and you had to go through the whole bump process and things like that, didn't work out your way. It just seems like Indy's the equalizer. I mean, it plays no favorites, and it always seems like every year, for whatever reason, there's that one kind of marquee guy that everybody expects to be safely qualified in that, for whatever reason, just has some struggles and ends up finding themselves kind of, you know, in that bubble, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, there's a lot of talk going around, you know, over the weekend with the struggles that Will was having, you know, in Penske. It's been, what, 20, almost 30 years since you know, 25, 26 years since a Penske car hasn't qualified for the Indy 500. And they were close, you know, that nearly happened again. And it just shows you, I mean, the guy won the race a couple years back and here he is fighting to stay in it. And during his qualifying run, he taps the wall and keeps his foot buried. I mean, that he earned that spot. I mean, that was such an exciting thing to watch. And again, like I said, my heart was in my throat just watching it, just feeling for him and for the team. I know what that's like. And yeah, no, it's Indy is special. It really is. It picks its people, and you can you can be the king 1 year, but that means nothing when you come back, you know, 365 days later.
Well, you know, and I guess, you know, with you, I feel like, you know, you've experienced the highest of highs and the lowest of lows in Indy. And obviously, there's that one high that we haven't quite got yet. But, I mean, you've been a pole sitter. Obviously, we know you had the bad crash. Came back, you won the pole. You've been bumped out of the field. I mean, Indy has definitely pulled at your heartstrings more often than not, man.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, we've talked a lot about how, like you said, we've experienced pretty much every emotion in Indy except one. There's just one box left to check on the high highs and the low lows list, you know, and we're hoping that a couple days here we get to finally check that box and have the full Indy experience.
Well, you know, that being said, let's talk about this year. Obviously, you know, you're safely qualified in the 16th spot. You know, you're inside row number six. I mean, come Sunday, obviously, we know this is a long race. I mean, you got to play the long game at Indy. Obviously, you want to get up towards the front, you know, as quick as possible. But you're not in a bad spot. I mean, how do you approach Sunday?
Honestly, it goes back to something I was told my rookie season in 2011. You know, every guy I spoke to just said the same word over and over and over again, patience. And, you know, that did us a lot of good a couple of years back. You know, we qualified 32nd, started on the last row there. And, you know, the year before, Rossi had actually been in the same position. He started on the last row there. And I remember rewatching that race after we qualified 32nd and thinking, all right, let's see how he got into the top five from 32nd. And honestly, the first half the race, he didn't make a lot of progress, you know, but they stayed confident, they stayed patient, and, you know, by the end, they were in a good spot, and that's what we did in 2019 from 32nd, you know, found ourselves in the top 10 there at the end of the race, and that's all you got to do. I mean, 16th, I've started better, I've started worse, but at the end of the day, you know, you just got to be up front at the end there, and that's just going to take smart decisions, good execution on pit lane, you know, not making any mistakes out on the track, and capitalizing on other people getting impatient.
Well, you know, looking at 2021 as a whole, we'll go back talking to Indy, but, you know, how are you feeling about this year? Obviously, you know, last year, you know, you kind of ran a part-time schedule. It came on at the end of the year with Andretti, and, you know, having this stability once again in your career, you know, where you know, hey, every single week I've got a race car, I've got a team behind me, we know we've got a good car, we can go out, we can compete for wins. I mean, how has that been for you coming off of a year last year, you know, where it was a little bit of an unknown, you know, throughout the whole year towards the end? I mean, how good has that been for your confidence this year and you know, and just your stability with the program?
Well, I mean, you know, it's obviously great to be in that situation and back in a full-time ride with an organization like Andretti, and, you know, it's where we've wanted to be for a long time. And you know, coming back there after our stint from 2012 to 14, you know, the year certainly hasn't gone the way we wanted up to this point. It's been a big struggle for us in the 29 program, and even the team as a whole. You know, we've under delivered, you know, for the ability I know that this team has across all four cars, and it's been a bit of a dry year for us up to this point. So, you know, we're looking inside a lot and trying to figure out what we can do better and how we can be a little more competitive as a group. But, you know, just being in that position and, like you said, being back full time with these guys and being able to help try to steer the ship back into a position where all four of us are, you know, competing for podiums every weekend is a great feeling.
Yeah. Well, you know, that being said, obviously we got a super strong Indy 500 field. I mean, you know, you mentioned a little bit about, you know, looking at some of Alex's, you know, the way he came from the back the 1 year and stuff like that, sitting in the middle of the pack. I mean, how do you think this thing's going to play out? I mean, you think it's, you know, obviously guys are shot out of cannon right away, but, you know, you think, you know, it's just basically, you know, staying the course and having a little patience, picking your way through traffic and trying to make your way, you know, over the first, you know, say 100, 150 miles up towards the front?
Yeah, I think that's just it. You know, it's the package, the aero package that we have this year is a little bit different from last year. You know, IndyCar has been just trying to make the racing a little bit better, and We've added some new aero bits that give us a bit more downforce. I think from what we saw in practice over the course of last week, it's going to be an exciting race. You know, it's going to be a little more action than what we've seen the last few years. And hopefully, you know, that helps, you know, a guy starting kind of mid-pack like I am. But at the end of the day, like you said, it's going to be about just kind of taking care of the car and taking care of everything for those first sort of 100 laps. And then over the next 50, start tuning yourself into a position where you can, you know, be there for that last 50 laps, that last pit stop, and be running up front and going for the win.
Yeah, and how important is it in a race like this at the Indy 500? I mean, obviously you've got some amazing teammates with Ryan and, you know, Colton, you know, Alex, you got Marco there. I mean, you've got some amazing teammates and kind of spread throughout the field. I mean, how important is it for you to have teammates in this race to make your way towards the front and know, you know, you've got some assets on your side, you know, to work your way through traffic?
Well, you know, I think it's obviously great having a big team like Andretti Autosport. I mean, we're six cars strong this month with Marco and Stefan being there. But, you know, all the help that you give each other to make all of you quicker over the course of the month, all that kind of comes from a little bit of a stop on race day. You know, race day is kind of time for every man to be for himself and to be a little bit more selfish. So it's a different deal for sure. And it's always nice having teammates on track. You know, they're going to race you clean and fair, but, you know, at the end of the day, you got to beat them just like you got to beat everybody else if you want to be hoisting the trophy at the end of the day.
How tough is it? You know, you've had this entire week, you know, leading up to qualifying. You've been in the car, ton of time in the car, you know, every single day you're in the car, you're burning off laps, you know, you go through the whole qualifying thing and it's like, boom, pump the brakes. You're out of the car for a week. Obviously weather's going to change in the next week. You're out of it for almost a week until carb day. I mean, how tough is that as a driver to reboot come carb day? And it's like, all right, we got to get the wheels back in motion because we spent an entire week in the car and then we almost took a week off and now we're back and it's race time.
Yeah, it's interesting. It is an interesting dynamic going from, you know, you say 6 hours a day every day in the car to not being even at the track for most of this week. But luckily we do have that session in carb day and they've extended it this year. It's 2 hours instead of the traditional one. So luckily we don't have to just show up on Sunday and get straight into it. But it really depends. You know, if you ended the last practice, you know, yesterday with a car that you were happy with and you felt good with, you're going to be okay strapping in on carb day. If you were not happy with your car on Sunday, and you've got to make some adjustments over this week, and you've got to go in there with a bit of an unknown. Yeah, you stress out a little bit more. You know, you're a little bit more anxious to get to carb day and really see what the car has become with these changes. You know, you hope that the weather doesn't change too much between what we've been running all week and what we're going to see on Friday and Sunday this week. So there's a lot of different things to think about and consider. And yeah, it's always a little nerve-wracking.
Yeah. Well, obviously, Indy's the big one this weekend, but, you know, we turn around immediately out of Indy. We got a doubleheader in Detroit. We hit that stretch of races where it seems like every week or every other week we got, you know, we got some kind of IndyCar races going on. Obviously, Long Beach, the big one at the end of the year. You've won at Long Beach. You've tasted that one before. But, you know, obviously, Indy's the big one. But coming out of this, I mean, how do you approach? Because we start hitting the stretch where there's a lot of races, a lot of points on the line.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and that's one of the big things, right, is before we get to Indy, not getting distracted by the fact Indy's coming up. And then once we leave Indy, you know, staying just as focused and just as prepared for all the other races that are coming up. And luckily this year, for the first time in as long as I can remember, we actually have the weekend off after Indianapolis and we have a chance to kind of regroup and get ourselves back into a normal sort of, you know, pace and race weekend protocol. And that's going to be, I think, a nice break for the crew guys and for the drivers to kind of get over what we call it the May hangover. You know, it's just after being at the track pretty much every day and driving as much as we do and having that biggest race and all the pressure and all the stress, it's kind of nice to have a little bit of a recharge, you know, after that race. And then you can start focusing on things like the doubleheader in Detroit and that stretch that you were talking about coming up.
Yeah. Well, and I know you wouldn't trade it for the world, but I mean, you know, put it in perspective, and I think you're probably one of the few guys that could probably put it into words, but I mean, Indy, I mean, I've been there for the entire month before doing media stuff. I mean, it's unlike anything anybody can ever, you know, present. I mean, obviously you got the road course, you know, that starts things off, and then you go through all the practices, qualifying weekend, which is its own event in itself, and then you've got the, you know, all the festivities of race week, then you've actually got the race on Memorial weekend. I mean, you know, I don't think people realize they call it the year of May. You know, it's the month of May, but it's, you know, some guys call it the year of May, but I don't think people realize how much and how taxing it is for teams, drivers, everybody for that couple of weeks in May to put it all together and really, you know, to be on point come, you know, Memorial weekend, because it's so draining, you know, leading up to that point.
It is, and it's so draining for such a long period of time, like you were talking about. You know, if you think about other big sporting events, you know, the build up to them and the amount that people are involved in them at that level, that heightened level of pressure and stress and intensity, you know, it basically starts May 1st, even though we still have a race before the 500. As soon as that calendar flips over to May, the guys have already been working on the cars. You know that you're going to be based out of the speedway for the next couple of weeks. And every day it's intense pressure, it's intense anxiety. It only takes one little thing to go wrong, and if the car ends up in the wall, the work that is, not only it's undone, the work that's undone that's already been done, but it's, you know, all the work that now has to be done to fix that thing. And everybody is just operating on a knife edge for such a long period of time. You know, the Super Bowl's a day, the Masters is 3 days, Wimbledon's, you know, a week, but this is a month. And you are engaged in it and just on that heightened level of everything for that entire time. So it's incredibly tough for everybody involved, drivers, crews, and, you know, engineers, officials, anyone involved. It's a pretty unique experience.
Yeah. Well, we got one last question before we let you go, Hinch, because I know we're up against the time break here. But, you know, having Texas this year, and obviously Texas didn't work out the way you wanted Texas to work out, but having that oval race before you head into Indy, you know, that doubleheader there, does that help or hurt, do you think?
You know, it's kind of a double-edged sword, because you, like I said, you put so much prep as a team into your Indy car, right? Those chassis have a lot of hours spent on them, making them perfect, making them fit as well as they can, as slippery as possible for the speedway. And so you go to Texas, which is another super speedway, but you don't want to risk your Indy car during a doubleheader right before the month of May. You know, it's kind of a slippery slope. So some guys did it, took the risk. Some guys reverted to a spare car and left their Indy car in the trailers in case of emergency sort of thing, because you just didn't want to risk your best stuff for the 500. And because, you know, Indy being the first oval race of the year is actually not terrible, because we do get so much practice there, you know? So it's, you could argue that the first oval race being at a track as tough as Texas after only an hour of practice and no one's been racing on ovals for, you know, 6-7 months, whatever it's been, you could argue that that's actually a crazier idea, you know? So I'd actually be more of a fan of having Indy be the first one, or if we're going to do a race somewhere like Texas beforehand, make it even earlier in the season, not quite so close to the start of May.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I never even looked at it in that perspective. But as always, man, you are bringing something new to the show. I appreciate you taking the time to call in, James. And, man, best of luck this weekend. We would love to see that highest of high, and you get that this weekend.
Thank you so much, man. Really appreciate it.
And we'll be back right after this.
You want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris RZR brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris RZR because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris RZR because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team RZR because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris RZR because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris RZR because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRZR.com or follow at Polaris RZR on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RZRLife to share your story.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris RZR. And unfortunately, that is all she wrote for this week.
Yes, it is time to wrap things up. Big thanks to Hinchtown, James Hinchcliffe, for calling in. Dalton Kellett, Tiffany Stone, and my good friend Alex Rossi. Man, banger of a show today. I am at Jim Beaver 15 on social media. Please head over to Podcast One, Apple Podcasts, and subscribe. Thanks to everybody tuning in all over the place. Big shout out to our partners, General Tire, Polaris Razor Vision Wheel, GSP XTV Axles, Rigid Industries, Dirtfish, Optimus, our good friends at Fistful of Bourbon. Yeah, go get your bourbon on, especially this Memorial weekend. Thanks to all of our military for tuning in and everything you do for supporting us. Don't forget Jim Beaver 15 will get you 15% off at Dirtfish Rally School. I will be live tweeting during the Indy 500. Join me on social media. Let's talk. Let's chat about what's going on. I want to know your picks, what you're thinking, and let's keep the dialogue going during that. Yeah, it's going to be a big weekend, and hopefully you guys enjoy it. Spend it with friends, family, and however the hell you want to spend it. I know I am. And, yeah, we will see you next week, next time, right here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Be safe this weekend, and yeah, we'll see you next time.